This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into today. We will be talking about some Champions League, some Premier League.
Champions Cup.
CONCACAF, as everyone loves to talk Champions Cup. We will also be talking about one of my favorite players, who now the Crew get to go up against. And he's a guy, Beam, that I will be excited if I can make it, if the schedule works out, and I can go watch this guy play. I will be more excited, or not more excited. I will be almost as excited as I would be to see Lionel Messi.
Whoa.
To see this guy play. That's how much I value this guy.
You know what they call that in the business?
What's that?
A tease.
It's a bit of a tease. Don't worry. You won't have to wait too long to get into it. But of course, you can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. We appreciate all of you who subscribe, who listen. And if you are listening maybe for the first time, you just found this podcast the last few weeks and you like it, hit that follow button, hit the subscribe button, whatever you have on your podcast app. And yeah, we appreciate that. Helps other people find the podcast. So, Beam, how's your week going?
It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. It's been a crazy last couple of weeks. As you know, it's been well documented here on this program.
And your ceiling fall in. You've had all kinds of stuff.
Ceiling fall in. We've had a couple. We had a birthday party back in Dayton with William. We had his birthday last week. Dog entered the mix again this past weekend. Drywall guys at the house. Like, it's just, it's a lot.
It's a lot, buddy.
Babysitter with a bad back, trying to scramble the Jets to find someone to watch William this morning. So it's been a good amount. I feel a fair amount of stress, but I think that's just adulthood, and I'm finding that out. It's just one thing after another.
Home ownership and parenthood add to the stress levels, and it's not that it's bad. There's a good thing, right? At the end of all that is you'll have a child that. You know, you get to eventually you grow old together. The kid is an adult. You know, you have this person that you've known their whole life, and there's nothing that replaces that for me. But getting to some of those nice, fun moments,
yeah.
There can be stress involved. Home ownership. At some point, you get to sell the house,
right?
And hopefully, that helps you fund your next house or whatever. But in the meantime, some days you have to. Call a drywall guy because your ceiling collapsed and that's no fun. So
it's been okay though. It's been pretty good. I feel like Meredith and I, we handle stress very differently. Like when I get overloaded and I get into a bad mental state, I put my walls up. So like my walls go up and my brain shuts down. So like I just become silent. If I get into situations like that where I know that I'm overwhelmed and I'm stressed, I just I won't say a word. Like that's my defense mechanism towards it.
Yeah.
As to where Meredith's defense mechanism towards it, and God bless her, she is remarkable. Hers is like, okay, well, how do we get ourselves out of that? I need time from the time that things happen to the time that then I need to get there mentally to be like, okay, now we take a step forward. Meredith immediately. And I don't know if that's because she deals with teenagers on a daily basis.
And it's
more so apparent in her career and she's putting out more fires than me.
Yeah.
But when she does it at a very rapid pace, very quick, as to me where I'm like, I need a breather.
Yeah.
I need a break.
I totally get that. I think you and my wife are similar, and me and Meredith are probably more similar in that. And that our relationship with me and my wife, that's how ours, it's the opposite where she tends to be the one who's like, I need a moment to process. Yeah. I need to just, this all needs to we need to let the tidal waves go back to calm waters.
Yeah.
And then I'll, engage. And I'm like, the storm is here. Let's batten down the hatches. Let's do all that. However, that's with crisis. When there's a crisis, I tend to be that person. When it's there's a text sitting on your phone, it's been sitting there for a day and you have to look at it. That is where I'm like, I don't have the energy.
But that's the stuff. I'm also that way too.
It's the middling stuff that I'm I know nothing's on fire. I know no one's dying. This is just a text about, hey, we should get together in the next few weeks. And it's like, yes, I want to do that. I actually would love to text this person back and have a conversation and go hang out. But I know that right now, figuring that out is going to cause me way more stress. I won't be able to send a text with a resolution.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, then why even send the text? I'll just wait until I can figure it out. I'll wait until I can think about it, you know? Or I'll see that because I don't read If I see that it's something that like, I'll look at the first line, and if it's like, hey, long time no talk.
Not
blah, blah, blah.
Interested.
It's not interested. It's I'm not there mentally yet to handle it today, so I will get to it because I know it's not. But if the text is like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe, then I might click that to see what happened. Yeah. Or if it's like, call me immediately, something happened with a long lost friend or someone I know very well, I will then, it's like, okay, what happened? Mm-hmm. So now you know how to get a hold of me. It's just send me like 911 text messages.
No wonder you've been ignoring my text messages for so long.
It's not even that. It's just that like at some point sometimes I'll see 18 text messages from my parents, from my brother, from my wife, and from all these other people. And then also there's like, I'm subscribed to all these because I'm just opted in on like, hey, get 10% off if you do that. And so I have to unsubscribe to those.
City Barbecue, 10% off.
Yes, it adds to all the stuff. And I'm just like, there's too much in there right now. I can't look at it.
I'll tell you that in a minute. You and I have to look at our phones like constantly, right?
Yeah.
And because we got to do it for our jobs. And like, as stupid as that sound, like scrolling social media and like being up to date and like
seeing
what's going on. Like,
that's part of the job. It'd be the same as if you're like never off your email. Yeah. That's what social media is for us. That's what ESPN's app, NBA app, NFL app, those things. That's what that is for us.
I'm just constantly cycling between like Twitter and Instagram's a nice reprieve because I don't really get much content from Instagram. So I'm not like content scrolling. That's like funny scroll time for me.
Yeah.
But like constantly between that and like ESPN and like all the, you know, those big sports pages and like CNN or whatever, like the world news, just to kind of keep up with what's going on. And yeah, I can't tell you how much it would make me happy that if I could just throw my phone into the nearest body of water and not have to talk to anybody.
If I threw it into a body of water now, I would panic.
Yes.
But like if I knew it was like, hey, you don't ever have to look at that news stuff again. You don't have to pay attention to it. You can just watch sports when you want. Again, what a cross we bear.
I know how it sounds.
Like this is the point I think to take away from all this is not
don't grow up.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Don't think that we are saying our jobs are super hard or anything.
They're not.
But what we are saying is no matter what job you have, and especially if you're younger, I didn't learn this till I got into this. There is no such thing as a quote unquote dream job in the sense of there's no job. I think that at least for me and that most people, I don't think there's a job you go to where you're like, this is easy and everything's fun and I never have a day where I'm just tired and exhausted.
Yeah.
You will be tired and exhausted doing whatever if you're not taking the time for yourself. But yeah, like even in this gig, which is, it's not working outside. It's not digging a ditch. It's not difficult work.
It's very easy work.
Yeah. But there are times where if you don't separate from it and just turn off the stuff and leave it alone for a little bit, that it can get overwhelming just like anything. So yeah. Anyway, if we can have those days, anybody could have those days. So Bone and Beam here for mental health.
Yes.
Take some time for you. In our little like fun clown jobs that we have, if we can feel those that way, I'm sure you and your very real and important job could also feel that way. So don't feel bad if you're feeling that way. Definitely take time for your mental health.
How's your week been? All right.
Yeah, it's been good. It's just been a lot. We're like, everybody's been dealing with rounds of sickness at the house for like a month and a half. So we get over something or... Like, I don't get the bad version of it lately, but everyone else seems to get it. And then I get a milder version or I don't get it. Or at times out where I get it on the weekend for a couple of days and then I get no rest because I'm just, my off time is that.
Yep.
So we're kind of finally, I think, pushing through the last bit of that. So hopefully, we got spring break coming up. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you guys going anywhere?
That's the thing. We don't know.
Aren't you like 2 weeks away from that? Yes. Like 10 days away from spring break?
If we go anywhere, it's going to be like... somewhere like in Ohio, just a staycation-ish kind of getaway, but nothing crazy.
We're flying on an airplane with the big dog for the first time.
Oh,
so
where are you going?
Fun. We're going to Bluffton, South Carolina.
All right. So seems a little random.
It is. Meredith's aunt and uncle had built a place down in Palmetto Bluff. They had been building it for a couple of years. So there, we're just going to go down there for the week. So
where in South Carolina is Bluffton?
That
roughly?
Is, I think, like 40 minutes, half hour west of Hilton Head, just north of Savannah.
Okay,
so, like,
so
we're flying near
the beach.
We're like, flying into Savannah Hilton Head Airport.
You're beach adjacent.
Yeah,
yeah. You're not like in Columbia or somewhere kind of inland. All right.
Yeah. Well, so that should be fun. We're excited about that, and then That should be pretty good. I am stressing out about the plane ride, even though it's like an hour and a half.
Because the dog. You're taking the dog?
No. We're taking the big dog. We're taking
Big
William.
Dog is the boy, yeah. Yeah, okay,
big,
that makes
big
sense.
Big dog is the boy. Okay. We're taking him. So.
He's never flown, though.
He has never flown.
Oh, this
we've
is...
never done the airport with him. So.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's like a 2 o'clock flight, I think, 2 or 3 o'clock, and like that's right during his like last wake window before... You know, like bedtime is happens at 7:30, and we kick that back. And we've been dealing with time change this week, so it's been. I'm telling you, it's been
a lot. Yeah, the
it's
time change, especially at that age,
it's really wrecked me more than him. Like a couple of days, like we're sitting on Wednesday when we're recording this, like he's fine, he's kind of back to normal. I've been going to bed this week at like 11:45,
which
like midnight
for a guy who gets up and has to do a show at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like you're up at what, 3? Four.
Yeah, 4. Yeah. My alarm goes off at 4.
Okay. So, I mean, that's 4 hours of sleep is not ideal.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, dude. That sucks.
But
well,
you know what?
Get some sleep here.
You know what? It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you'll make it through, but we can all acknowledge that's not fun. I've been there. I've had days where it's like 4 or 5 hours of sleep and you're just dragging the whole day. It's tough.
Good news for me, I got drywall guys in my house all week, so I can take a nap and so can the baby.
Oh, really?
No.
I was going to say, I don't think you can.
No.
All right, so let's talk about some soccer. The Crew won in CONCACAF Champions League. This time they did not leave it until the death. They did not. They scored early in this game, early-ish for
them. Well, they kind of left it at the death.
Well, all right, fair point. It was a 2-1 game or 2-1 aggregate because Houston did score, made it 1-1. And you start to panic
Steven
a little Marrera,
bit. Why are we going like prime vintage Randy Moss in the box?
I don't know.
Sorry, neighbor Eric. I know you don't get that reference, but
I love Steven Marrera too. So
that was
just one of his moments that was not ideal. But still, you tie Houston 1-1 at home. Yeah. But doesn't matter about away goals. They both had one. Crew had 2 total goals. So there you go. 2-1 aggregate win. Here is what I am impressed with the Crew, because you could also let's also talk about what they did against Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a great game there where you're at home and you give up a goal. You end up winning 2-1.
Latest game winner in Crew MLS history with the 100th minute goal.
Mo Farsi.
Yeah.
There were 12 minutes of added time, which made no sense to me. I didn't
know where it came from.
I didn't either. I still don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I'm okay with it.
Well, I said I wanted to be on the record during the game because I posted on Twitter. I'm like, listen, I'm glad we got 12 minutes of stoppage time to go try to get this winner. It benefits the Crew. This is ridiculous. They gave 12 minutes of stoppage time for this. But anyway, Mo Farsi
getting reffing union. So that's that's obviously the thing that they're doing.
The scab refs are, let's be real, they suck.
Yeah.
They're bad. And I'm not saying the pro MLS pro refs are any better, but like these refs are not an improvement at all. So I don't know why MLS can't get their act together and figure this out, but get those refs back to work. Now, Mo Farsi deserves, let's give him his flowers, because that was an awesome score by him. Great to see him be rewarded for, you know, playing really well towards the end of last year. He did have the gaffe in Cincinnati, right, I believe, or was that Atlanta? One of those games he had a gaffe and it was bad. But he redeemed himself and played really well for a lot of that year. I think he's one of the most important pieces going forward for this team.
It's good that they were able to get him re-signed.
Like, yeah, it was.
Such a big key.
And it was great to see him rewarded with a goal. I like that. So the thing that I want to bring up here is this goes back to what we've been talking about with Wilfried Nancy, roster management. You have had to deal with two midweek games the last 2 weeks, 2 weekend games. So you've played in the span of 14-ish days or less, you've played 4 games.
Yeah. You'll by the time you get through the weekend in Red Bulls, you'll play 5 games in 14 days.
5 games in 14 days. That's a lot for any soccer team. And, all these teams coming in know they're playing the defending champ in MLS. Mm-hmm. And Houston knows that too, even though this was a CONCACAF game. They want to go beat the defending MLS Cup champs. They know that. So I look at it as the fact you've come away from this run of games while you're winning late, while I don't think that's ideal, I don't think that's sustainable that you just get late winners. Obviously, they didn't in the CONCACAF Champions League second leg, but all these other games we talked about, they did. I'm not terribly concerned about that, because I think right now you're just trying to grind and get results.
I agree.
You have so much soccer left to play. You got to, though, you're dropped in the middle of this CONCACAF Champions League, which is how that works. You got to find a way to get results. So they did. They advance. That's good. They've been getting, other than Minnesota, 3 points.
Yep.
That's good. That's what you need to do, especially at home. How they get them right now, I don't really care. If it's the prettiest it's ever looked, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Am I worried about signs or trends? not at this point, because I know you're just trying to manage. You're putting guys in left and you're starting guys who've not started a lot. Then you're bringing guys off the bench who usually start. You're trying to manage everybody's minutes so you hopefully get the best of both worlds. And I think so far, Nancy is doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a few games into the season, you've won every game at home, right? You got a point on the road up in Minnesota. You got another opportunity this weekend to get 3 points, and you're through to the next round of Champions Cup.
Yeah.
Like, you and I wanted to put, when we talked about at the beginning of the season a few weeks ago, like, we were putting all the eggs in the basket of Champions Cup. Like, that's what something that we really wanted to see. And now that you're through to the next round and you get about a month, 3 week layoff, those games will be happening, I think, the first and second weeks of April.
Yep.
So you get a couple of week layoff in that. You're going to obviously be playing in MLS, you know, through that. So you get a couple of week break from, like, the, you know, the fixture congestion. I think is the term
you
that we'd like to use. So you're through this first portion of that. And you've done a really good job navigating it. Now, it gets harder and more difficult the deeper that you obviously get in and you draw Tigres, and I know we'll talk about them here in a second, where it gets a little more difficult each step of the road that you take. But you're through this portion of the season. You've been accomplishing your goals at the what we said that they wanted to do at the beginning of the year, and you still find yourselves competing in both competitions. It's not like you have 0 points in MLS and you find yourselves out of Champions Cup where you now have to play makeup in that, and then you're out of that competition. You're still in both. It's not the prettiest we've ever seen this team play, but again, they didn't hit the gas pedal until June, July last year.
Yeah, right. I think there's plenty of time here for them to sort it out, and I know that also you've got so much coming up. I mean, I was reminded of it during the game watching CONCACAF Champions Cup, because they were talking about, well, coming up on Fox, we've got the, you know, the Euros, blah, blah, blah. We have the rights to that. Jeez. Also, Copa America, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're right. Between all these different places. Now, I don't know the crew are going to have a lot of guys going off to Euros, but you will have a lot of guys missing time for the Copa America. And then also, and the U.S. national team made it to the Olympics. And will Patrick Schulte be called in, or will Aiden Morris be called in for that if they're not called in for the, you know, Copa America? And it's like, yeah, that's also a thing I forgot about. It's like, you got the Olympics, you've got Copa America.
Sean Zawadzki, is he going to get the call?
Well, sure. Right. Like, there's dudes that could. So,
get out.
And then never mind the other guys who definitely do play for their national teams who play for the crew. So you got a lot of things that you're going to have to deal with roster fixture congestion. And
is Cucho going to be at Copa, right?
Well, like, and I think they are doing the best they can, but let's talk about it. Cucho's played a lot of minutes early in the season.
Yeah.
I will not be surprised, and I will not be mad about it, if there is a game where they healthy scratch him or don't bring him into the 75th or something.
Agreed.
Like, and then they need to. He has done a great job. He obviously got the first goal in the game against Houston in this second leg, where, boy, Cucho loves that near post on that goal in the
little head
south
faint.
End of
little
the
head faint was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Looking far post, boom, near post.
He burns so many dudes at that near post. It is not even funny. Like, Brad Guzan still has nightmares about it. And then Steve Clark obviously got a taste of it in that Champions Cup game. But, like, Cucho's been Cucho. You needed this. You needed
platinum
him.
Platinum Cucho.
Yeah, Platinum Cucho. He changed his hair color.
Looks good.
You know what? It's time to go win some trophies.
Agreed.
That's the color. That's that. He wants some hardware.
Why don't you and I go platinum?
Can't. I don't have any hair to. Well, I have facial hair. I guess I could go.
That's kind of. You're kind of already on the silver.
I am on the
there.
Silver. I'm pretty
it's
much
more
there.
Sil- when we started this podcast, it was more red brown.
No, it's
now
silver
it's,
now.
Now
it's gone
silver.
Very silver.
Silver
yeah.
brown.
Yeah. Well, again, that's all that stress we've talked about of scrolling X and watching sports. Yeah, man.
I caught a few grays on my head the other day.
You know, I don't want to out him here, but I did see Timmy. He had his hair like kind of flipped up a little bit. And he's got it looks
specs.
Good. It looks so good. He's just got 3 or 4 strands, but it's right there in the front. And it's like rest of the hair jet black. That when he goes salt and pepper, you're going to the ladies.
Watch
everybody,
out,
everybody.
Clooney.
Men, women, everyone just going to be tackling him.
I already have been ogling over him.
I know.
I called dibs.
That's right. Timmy Hall is an attractive man. What can we say? Mm-hmm. So I will say with this crew team, I think the way that they are trending right now is good. They are finding ways to grind results. If I were to look at these individual performances and say, is this the way that, does this look like the team that goes wins MLS Cup playing like this? Not in the sense of stylistically, I don't think they're back where they were in the fall of last year where they were really humming.
Yeah.
That is not their game right now, but they are finding ways to get results one way or the other.
That's what champions do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really care if you win pretty at this point. I just need you to pile up the points in MLS, bank those for later when you have all these guys missing and you have some, you know, you got Leagues Cup and all that crap. Like, at some point, you're going to need to have a good stockpile so that if you get a guy who's out for 2 months mm-hmm. and a key piece, how do you weather that storm with his backup? That's by piling up points while you got most of your roster pretty healthy. And also, like we said, trying to get this hardware for CONCACAF Champions Cup. So on to the next round. Like you said, they play Tigres, who defeated Orlando.
Yeah.
So now you get
crazy
to play.
Crazy game that they had.
I didn't see the result.
4-2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that. I saw Tigres scored some goals, but I didn't see how it happened. But let me tell you right now about a guy on that team that he's not what he once was. He's 38 years old, but I am excited about watching this guy play against the Crew. Not, I'm excited to see him in person. I'm not excited to watch him go against
the Crew.
Kind of
a mythological beast.
Dude, André-Pierre Gignac is one of these guys that I've seen highlights of for years for Tigres, in part because this will be the Lucas Zelarayán fixture when they play this in April between these two teams. Lucas Zelarayán came over from Tigres and then obviously played for the Crew. Now he's off to Saudi Arabia. But that when I would go watch Tigres highlights to try to see, like, all right, who's this guy we're getting? Who's this Lucas Zelarayán? Even when they were rumored to be after him, mm-hmm. I started looking up and all I saw were Gignac highlights, and I'm like, I think I've seen this dude before. And I went back and I'm like, oh man, we've seen this dude before. He has bagged, what is it, like 150 plus goals or something?
It's
ridiculous.
A lot. His first season in Liga MX was a long time ago,
2016.
And
I want
to
say he
scored like 37 goals in his first year. Yeah,
so his story, if you don't know, this dude broke into Legion. He is from France, if you can't tell by the name. French national player, broke in Legion. And I think either led the league or was tied for the league lead or something with 25 goals in Legion. This was 2008, 2009, I want to say.
So he's playing for Toulouse in 08, 09. 38 okay. appearances in Ligue 1, Legion, and 24 goals.
Yeah. Dude. All right, so that's one of Europe's top leagues. He goes in and has a tremendous season and doesn't get the call I guess he gets a call from a bigger club in France.
Yeah, went to Marseille.
Yes,
after
which is
a few
bigger club.
Toulouse, yeah.
Yeah, but then did not really get the call from, like, oh my gosh, who's this kid who bagged 24 goals in a Legion season? We got to get him over to the Premier League or to Germany.
Wherever.
No, he didn't get that call. Stayed in France. And then after, a rocky start there at Marseille, ended up becoming one of their best players, scored a bunch of goals for them.
18 goals, 22 goals, 23 goals in his last season at Marseille.
Okay. Yeah, those are great totals for a team like that. And I think they finished second in one of those years to PSG, which, again, it's like, for Marseille, that's pretty good.
Right.
So then I think it was the 2014 World Cup where he did not get called into the French team. And that was kind of like, all right, maybe this isn't happening. You know, like he wasn't in their roster for the World Cup.
Yep.
He was in his prime, bagging goals. And they said, no, sorry, we can do better. And I mean, to be fair to them, they did pretty well. But
they did fine in the 18 World Cup. Yeah.
18 World Cup was where they did much better. But I'm saying that 2014 World Cup, they still were like building to that and some of those guys. But he didn't get the call in. And so a few years later, he goes over to Mexico. And I think a lot of people said, well, this guy's done. You know, he's not staying in big leagues in Europe.
Yep.
And I think it's such a good story of a guy who said, yeah, I'm not going to go the way that I thought this was going to go. But now he's gone to Mexico. Like you said, they play in Monterrey, which is a beautiful city from all accounts. I've never been, but it looks gorgeous from everything I've seen. He is now, I think, applied for and been granted his Mexican citizenship.
Okay,
so,
nice.
And he's made a living for himself there. He's made a life for himself there. He has paid, I'm sure, very well.
Yeah.
He's now 38 years old, but he still gets it done. And, like, he's going to be one of those guys that probably – I don't know if he's going to play 90 minutes. I don't know if he's going to come in and do that. But if you have a free kick and he's in the game around the 18, that dude is still as dangerous as anyone that the Crew will ever play. Like, he is tough. But a big dude who knows how to score, knows how to get in position. Like I said, he's 38 now, so he's not what he once was. But I saw it still. Like, last year, he was playing very well for Tigres.
He got 3 goals in his last 6 games. He scored last night against Orlando.
Yeah. I think that one may have been a penalty. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, he's that guy on their team. If they have a penalty, he's going to probably take it. If they have a big free kick around the 18, it'll be him. Or I think they got, like, a 20-year-old dude who's also, like, a ridiculous talent. They've got the old and the young thing going, right? They've got the young next up-and-comer, and they've got this dude who's kind of taking him under his wing.
Marcelo Flores.
That's it. Marcelo Flores, yes. Like, that guy, and he's, I want to say, born in Canada, Marcelo Flores.
Okay.
But is a Mexican national team, you know, fringe national team player right now, probably as he gets a little older. You know, they'll probably have him featured more. But
from the Arsenal Academy.
Yeah.
Came over from Arsenal.
Yeah, like, they've got some dudes. Tigres is going to be a tough, tough game. And I'll tell you right now, Crew fans, when they announce, they haven't announced the dates yet, as of the recording of this podcast, because they haven't sorted all that out yet. It may be that the Crew host the first leg because the, I want to say the second leg, with the dates that it would be played on, there's something going on at lower.com.
Oh, really?
I think. I thought I saw something like that where that might be a conflict. I don't know. So we'll find out. They'll announce the dates at some point. When those tickets come for sale, if you want to go, buy them, because there will be Tigres fans traveling from all over the U.S. and probably some from Mexico coming to watch their team play in this game. Yeah. Like, this will be a game where it probably will be like 50-50, even if, you know,
maybe.
I'm saying, like, there will be a lot of fans who come to see this team because this is one of the bigger clubs in Mexico. They have some bright stars. And, of course, it's the round of eight.
Right.
Like, you're talking now, you're on to after this one. I mean, it's semifinals and finals is what you have next. So if the whoever gets through this has a really good shot at winning the whole thing, and the Crew have to, this is, as much as I'm gloss, like, I'm telling you how great this team is and how I like Tigres, and Gignac is this guy that I admire and all this stuff. I hope we kick their ass. I hope he looks terrible against the Crew.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Steven Moreira and, you know, some of these defenders that we have, you know, Darlington Nagbe, boss in the midfield, I hope. Aiden Morris, how you stack up. Like, these are the games now where they're going to have to rest their guys for the MLS fixtures to have them ready for this game.
I think if they would have gotten knocked out of this stage, I think it would have been like, okay, you know,
yeah,
doesn't matter, whatever. But now that you got through this round,
now it's almost,
you and I were already all in to this.
You got
to
be all in here.
But now that you've made it to the quarterfinals, and you could see, like, if you get past this two-leg fixture, like, then all of a sudden what you mentioned, like, you've got three matches, you know, potentially to go to hoist yet another trophy. Like, I'm in. I'm all in on this.
Yeah. I wanted to look real quick, last thing, and then we'll take a break and we'll get on to other things. But I just wanted to see the Crew's schedule coming up for the next, like, 2 months, because I think in April, when you get to these games, you're really going to have to take a look at how many games are we playing against Western Conference teams versus our Eastern Conference foes. So, like, all right, so your next three matches, you have Columbus hosting Red Bull this Saturday, then you go to Charlotte, and then you've got to Nashville, right? Those are the three games prior to playing Tigres. I think you have to look seriously at that Nashville game as saying, as much as I know Nashville's like one of these top teams and they're very tough, or they have been over the last few years, you might have to look at that Nashville game and say, hey, man, we're playing a lot of reserves. Good luck to you.
The good news is that
and do what you have to do to try to get out of there one, like, less than 1 or 2 nil, and don't have a huge goal differential thing, but that might be the one you sacrifice and just say, it's all right. If we don't, we got all our stuff on Tigres coming up.
Good news is that it's either going to be played on, because they're a Tuesday, Wednesday schedule, right?
Yeah.
The good news is that the first leg is either going to be Tuesday, April 2nd or Wednesday, April 3rd. And again, we don't know if we have the home game first or they're going to have the home game first. You've got DC at home between those matches, and then you either go on the road to Tigres or play them at home for the second leg.
Yeah.
So, like, that, I would be worried if it was, like, at Vancouver.
Right.
Like, if you at somewhere, like, at LA or at Seattle or Portland. Like, the good news is that sandwiched in between this quarterfinal matchup, you get DC at home.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I think that one, and DC, you know, may be an improved team this year. Early results, you know, are kind of hard to tell right now. But that, yeah, I'm saying, I think you have to look at your Eastern Conference games and say, we got to take those as seriously as we can, because you're trying to get top four in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. And I mean, points matter regardless, but when you have results against Eastern Conference teams, you got to factor that in. Home against DC is better than, yes, like you said, a road game where. But again, after they play the second leg of Tigres, then it's Real Salt Lake on the road.
Right.
And then it's Portland at home.
And then I think you're back for Hell is Real, like, shortly after that.
It's home. In May. That's May 11th. Yeah, it's the first Hell is Real at
Which
home.
If you get to the semifinals, your semifinal fixtures will be circled around that game. So you'll play a semifinal game before Hell is Real in the midweek, and then right after.
Man, I'll tell you what, May's going to be, look at this schedule with May. So they get a couple weeks off after they play Montreal April 27th. Then they play FC. But Montreal, if you've not been paying attention,
yeah.
Laurent Courtois, former Crew 2 coach,
yep.
doing good work mm-hmm. in Montreal. They have gotten, I think, 7 points out of their first three games, and I think they've all been on the road.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. They did beat Inter Miami over the weekend, but I want to say that was without Messi, and that was probably, you know, why that may have happened. But still, they went on the road and won.
Yeah.
In MLS.
Beat Dallas on the road, beat Miami on the road.
Yeah. And then they tied their other one.
Drew Orlando.
Yeah. So you're talking about Montreal, April 27th. Who knows how they're going to be playing, but they look tough initially. And you know that's going to mean something for Laurent Courtois to come back. He knows this system inside and out. Then they play Hell is Real. Then they play Montreal again in Montreal.
Yeah.
Then they get Chicago on the road. Then Orlando City on the road, like May. And then they close out with Caleb Porter returning to Columbus against New England in May 20th. So, like, that is going to probably – that New England game looks right now like the easiest one on the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they have got a ton of games in May, and they will – if they can – depending on how the Tigre series goes, they could have another fixture there with their that could potentially be them playing Inter Miami. That could be them playing – I forget which big club it is in Mexico, but it's another really – oh, it's Monterrey.
I think it is just Monterrey.
Monterrey, yeah, I think is who it is – who they would be going against. So, yeah, you're looking at – that those matchups are going to be ridiculous too. So, yeah, man, this is, I'm telling you, this is going to be a battle the next few months for this Crew team. How they sort that out in that month of May is going to be tough without CONCACAF fixtures. If they exist in May, good luck. That's I'm not saying like we can't do it. I'm just saying that's going to be tough.
Club America's in there. Guadalajara is still in there.
Yeah. On the other side, I know those are the two. I don't know who won, or maybe they're still playing. Maybe those are yet to be determined, but yeah, this is going to be, I mean, again, you're now getting to the meat of CONCACAF Champions Cup where you're going to play some tough competition.
So if you do go through Tigres, so you get Club Sport Herediano or Robin Hood, which I've never heard of either one of these.
Is that
teams.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're on the same side.
Yeah, they are.
I thought it was Inter Miami.
Right. I'm just the way that they've got this looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They, yeah, but they it is, up. You're right. It is Monterrey.
So it's either Monterrey or whoever.
It's Inter Miami. Cincinnati.
Oh, it's Monterrey and FC Cincinnati. They've not settled it yet, but
and
I think
Nashville, Miami.
But Monterrey, I want to say, has a 1-0 lead going back to Monterrey.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then Inter Miami, I don't know what they did against
2-2 draw. They're at home tonight against Nashville.
Oh, and I'm sure Messi's playing in that game.
Sure.
And I'm sure they'll win. So good luck. So I'm saying it'll probably be Monterrey or FC Monterrey or Miami is who you're probably playing. Both if you get through this.
Both pretty good outcomes.
Oh,
I will take both of those.
And by the way, tickets will be astronomical for either one.
Yes.
One more than the other.
Right.
That's, again, Tigres, this is not a given. This is, no. I'll be honest, if I'm handicapping it right now, there's a good chance
slight
you lose this series.
They're
yeah, they're the favorites in this one, but that's all right. Crew can go prove it. Go get it done on the field. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about who's getting it done on the field in England next. There is a new team at the top of the Premier League table. We'll discuss it. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Said before, you can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. You can that is on Twitter or X, I guess, as some are calling it. Of course, if you like the podcast, make sure you hit the follow subscribe button. We don't have a YouTube channel or an Instagram or anything yet. I don't know if we ever will, but hopefully this is enough for you.
Twitter's enough for us.
Yeah,
and we're bad at
and we're bad
that.
At Twitter right now. So let's talk about the weekend results, shall we, in the Premier League, and then we'll get to some Champions League discussion too.
Your guys had a clunker, man.
That was a tough one for Villa. They lost 4-0 to Tottenham. And I know that the guys, the Aston Villa Supporter Club here, I know they were devastated by that loss. That was not great.
You're getting a little nervy now?
You have to, right? For that final spot in the Champions League. I mean, it looked like they had a pretty good hold on it, but that result was not encouraging. So still, 10 games left to go in this thing?
Although, I guess, I don't know what the new Champions League rules. I think the Premier League might get 5 teams in.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's a possibility.
But
so,
again, I don't know.
You don't want to leave it up to that. You want to make sure. And it might be like that maybe that fifth spot's like a playoff type of thing
right.
where you go play to get in. I don't know. But in either case, you want to make sure you're top four. Also, just for like the sake of knowing what top four means.
Yes, of course.
You know, usually that's a good measuring stick. I know either way, they've had a successful season, but that one was one where it's like you want to prove that you're one of the top four and not like part of that second group. And then Tottenham said, no, we belong here too. that was frustrating.
You guys got Ajax coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's and I want to say they lost drew the first
at
one.
Ajax, at, though, so at Ajax. At home.
Okay. So there's still a chance there in the what is it? Europa
conference.
League. Oh, is that the, that's that conference thing, right? Yeah. That's right. Not Europa League. Well, either case, they got to – I mean, I think they all know – I mean, I would guess their focus is now you got to do whatever you got to do to, you know, try to make sure you stay in the top four. So
I don't know, man. Beating Ajax would be pretty damn cool.
That would be, but do you want the conference thing, and do you think you can go
You're
win that
Villa
championship?
You're the Villa fan here. You tell me. I don't know what you guys want.
I would think you'd want to try to go stay top four. So I would think that's what you'd prioritize, but what do I know? All right. Let's talk about that. We can talk about – we can get into some discussion about Arsenal in a moment because they are now top of the table. Mm-hmm. After Manchester City went to Anfield and escaped with a point. They get a point against Liverpool, but a huge game. Everyone was talking about this. It was – I heard Bo Bishop talking about it on Morning Juice. That's your show. Yeah. On Bishop and Friends, Common Man came in for Common Man and T-Bone and said, this is a huge game, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it's massive. It's ridiculous. And I'm saying, like, this one caught the attention of a lot of people who don't normally watch soccer, who just know some of the big storylines. Maybe they watch the World Cup. This one had a lot of people watching, and it, I think, lived up to the billing in the sense that there was a very intense game.
It was good. So City go ahead on the first goal. John Stones putting it in. If you had John Stones at first goal scorer in that, congratulations to you for paying for your mortgage for the month. It was a beautiful little free kick. Corner that they drew up. Great set piece design. Like, you got to do something, right? Some sort of creativeness. And they did that. So they got the goal. And then Liverpool just became like a fire breathing dragon. Like, I don't think there have been so few times in the last 10 years, 5 years, however long Pep has been at City, where they haven't ruled possession. Cause that's what they like to do. I mean, we talk about different ways, like the Crew will play. It's like, if you want to possess against the Crew, that's fine. They can play that where you guys keep the possession and then we'll kill you on the counter. But when we do get possession, we'll, you know, see it out and actually make something meaningful of it. Like, Liverpool just kicked all sorts of ass in keeping this game and keeping the ball. And so they get a penalty. Alexis McAllister steps up to the spot. He scores the penalty. It's 1-1 right at the beginning of the first half. Second half.
Yeah.
And so you've got, you know, 40 plus minutes of just pandemonium that you know is going to be back and forth. And at one point late in the game, I mean, it was open. It was like chance, City, boom, Liverpool counterattack, chance, boom, City comes down. And I'm texting Mike Bennett, who, as you know, is a Liverpool fan. And he was like, these refs are egregious. Diego Jota got kicked in the chest. Well, I'm like, yeah, he did. That should have been a
point.
Like, yes.
He had a point on that. I will say that I don't think this is a wrong way to look at soccer, is whatever your rulings are, whatever your, you know, thoughts are on physicality in soccer, anything that leads you to say a guy's cleat ending up in someone else's chest is not a foul, I think you've evaluated the game wrong. Mm-hmm. If you think that's not a foul, it's a foul if it happens, you know, 100 yards away from the goal. Yeah. It's a foul if it happens at midfield. It is a foul if it happens in the 18. It is a foul if it happens in on the sideline. It's a foul. Like, no matter where it happens, if it happens out in the stands, a guy gets arrested for it. Like, that, it's a foul. Like, that is clearly a foul, and it was in the box.
Look,
it should have been
Eric
a penalty.
Cantona, it's a foul when you go into the stands with the high boot and the kick. That's a foul. You can't do that.
That's right. So to me, that was clearly a foul. It should have been called, and it wasn't. And I don't understand the idea of, like, well, we don't want to determine a game. You didn't. The player who stuck his boot into someone's chest in the box, that is determining a game. That is a mistake. Whether it's up to the refs to make the very easy and correct call. So I'm sorry. I don't understand the argument that, like, well, we don't want to determine how this goes. You're not. You're just calling the game. Same thing as if
you're not determining a player was hit in the chest with a boot. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's the same thing in an NFL game when you have 2 minutes to go and then it's like, oh, well, that could have been pass interference, but they didn't call it. You know,
well,
it's like, we're letting him play.
Holding. It's like,
did you see it? Did it happen? Did the guy do the crime? Then you got to call the foul. That's just how it goes. Doesn't matter what time of game it is or where it is.
Doesn't matter
it is
the
or,
impact of
yes,
the game.
Yes, doesn't. You call it no matter what. Even if they're, you know, in this game, if Liverpool were up 4, they should have gotten that call. And if they were down 4, they should have gotten that call. Yeah. Like, it's a joke. So I agree with Mike Bennett on that.
So we get through that game, and then I thought it was so funny. I'm like watching the broadcast, and I rarely do I have time now to like sit down and watch 2 hours of a game, but it was pretty good. I mean, we watched this entire game and it was pretty enthralling. And so you get done and, you know, it's the whole pomp and circumstance, right? About like, this is Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola's last meet, potentially, you know, their last meeting of what's been a great rivalry. And I agree, like their matchups have been pretty good and City has been really unable to find a way to get a victory at Anfield. Like Liverpool, I think only has one loss during Virgil van Dijk's time, like at Anfield. Like they've made that place a fortress and it's really pretty incredible. And so then, you know, they flash to the table and I'm like, oh, okay, well, we got something interesting going on here because we had talked about that last week. There's a third team that is in this race.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenal fans know that pretty well. And what did they do this past weekend? Well, they had a little bit of drama, but Kai Havertz coming up big for them against Brentford at home. Kai Havertz scores in the 86th minute. Game winner. Perfect. 3 points. That's what you need to do. I had this thought, and I don't know where you were, because I know where I was last week mentally, literally just a week ago, where I'm like, there's just no way. Like, out of the two teams, like, Arsenal are going to finish third. Like, City and Liverpool are going to do their jobs and kind of move on. And I was watching a bit of that Brentford game, saw the Kai Havertz goal. Like, Arsenal of past would have drawn. Like, they wouldn't have gotten 3 points out of this.
Yep.
Now, they're in a title chase.
I think you're right.
They're in a title chase. We obviously know, like, 3 points at a premium. You want to get that done every single time you're out on the field. And then yesterday, I'm watching the Champions League game against Porto, and you knew exactly what Porto was going to do. Mm. And by the way, congratulations to Pepe on what has been a wonderful career, because he is the captain of Porto, and he's like 45 years old.
I mean, it's amazing to still see him out there.
He's great.
He's still
remarkable.
Still getting it done.
And so they score right on halftime. Trossard does. So it's 1-1 on aggregate. It's 1-0 last night. And Arsenal looked to be the better team, right? I mean, Porto had some opportunities and they had some chances. They just couldn't really take advantage of those chances. Like the last kick of the ball in their last game, right? I mean, it was a shot from 25 yards out. It beats the keeper and it tells you a whole different story. The Arsenal of past, at the last few years when they've been kind of on this run up and on this lead in to this presumptive breakthrough. I think I was reading or heard something on the broadcast yesterday. It's the first time that they're into the quarterfinals of the Champions League in the last 14 years.
All right.
It's been 14 years since they've made it into the last eight of Europe. Okay. How did they get there? Well, they had a 1-0 lead. They get through 90 minutes. You go to extra time. You didn't give up a goal in extra time. No. You go to penalties and you win a penalty shootout at home. The Arsenal of past would have bottled it.
Yeah,
like they would have blown the game on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have gotten 3 points.
It would have been all the wheels would have fallen off in like a span of 4 days.
And in the span of 4 minutes too in a game.
Well,
like something would have happened.
Yes.
Porto would have got a goal early.
But
and
I'm
then,
saying like they would have been like, oh, clearly not top two. They lost this game at Brentford. How are they possibly gonna, you know, be a part of this title fight? And then that they would go to the Champions League thing and blow that, and then it's all done in like the span of a week. You're like, oh yeah, we went from being possibly a champion of both of these things to now we're out.
Like we're not playing for anything anymore. So the good news for them is we've got the FA Cup, not the FA Cup final. We have FA Cup fixtures coming up this weekend. So City play Newcastle in that. All right. So City obviously still treble hunters and they're chasing down, you know, back-to-back trebles, which would just be remarkable if they're able to achieve that.
Sure.
So they've got Newcastle this weekend. Arsenal don't play again until March 31st, the end of the month. So they get a couple of week break.
Who do they play?
And they play City. So, and I don't know how they're going to redo that Chelsea match. Like they,
oh yeah,
like
the, right.
That match may be dropped in between now and the end of the month, which is it's huge rivalry in itself.
Yeah.
A nice little London derby.
And has, I mean, Chelsea's not trying to,
oh, they're not laying down,
lay down for that.
For that.
No way. They've
been in a little bit better form, too.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they're starting to pick it up.
We'll see. But I had that thought even last week. Last week at the same point, I was talking about Arsenal are out of it. Doesn't matter. Obviously, Liverpool and City, like, that's a big fixture on the weekend. And whoever wins that will have the leg up for the title race.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there yesterday watching this penalty shootout and the, like, jubilation and the joy that they had of getting through to the quarterfinal. And I paired that with what they did against Brentford. And I was saying to myself, it might, like, the breakthrough could be happening, like, right in front of our eyeballs.
Yeah, right. I think you're 100%
not to
on
say
that.
That I don't think they're going to win Champions
League.
No.
But I think what you're seeing is this team has, there's a thing about getting to be a top five, top four team in any sport. I'm not just saying this for soccer. And then there's a thing about getting over that to being the one that can go win a title.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, yeah, like, unless you're Manchester City, right, to a degree where it's like you just have so much talent, you almost have to not screw it up. And I don't mean that as a slight to them. I mean that as
I do.
We can all acknowledge how that team has been, you know, built.
Yes.
And not that Arsenal hasn't spent money, not that, you know, Liverpool doesn't spend money. These other teams do too. But I feel like barring your team just being like immaculately put together and instantly just forms, even that team has to learn how to do it. They have to show they can. They have to make that happen. That's why Pep gets a lot of credit, right, is for that team to have not missed a lot of their chances to win that stuff. But with Arsenal, I do think there has been a lot of, especially for some of those younger players, they were there and saw some of those awful years. They saw the tail end of that run. They saw when Mikel Arteta was almost on the way out, and they basically had to save his job more or less. And now those players are like, they've turned it on and gotten them to a point, along with some of the help they brought in, to say, now we're a top three team. Now we're one of those teams that's clearly a Champions League team every year. We're back to that form. How do we win the Premier League? They were close last year. I wonder if they took any lessons.
I'm sure they did.
I think your point that they may have learned some lessons through that, and you saw an improvement in this little stretch that you just discussed versus what would have happened in years past, I think it's spot on. I think that's a definite sign of growth. We'll see. They have to take another step.
Correct.
When they play Manchester City, we'll find out what they do there. Is that, I don't know if that's home or...
That's a home game for them.
Okay. I mean, that's still something that they have to figure out how to do, right? You have to go beat Manchester City.
That's at the Etihad. So
that's bad. But then you have to go and make sure you get a point.
Correct.
There's no exception that you have to get a point out of that game. Yeah. You cannot let Manchester City get three at home on you on that. I mean, this is...
Again, I'm not saying this in the perspective that I had the breakthrough and being like, Arsenal are going to win the league.
No, but you're saying it in the sense of you now feel like there's a better chance for them to do so, because you think what you saw this weekend kind of proves they've taken another step towards that. Maybe they're not there yet, but clearly they've shown something that's an improvement from where they were. And now I'm sure you would say, you'd amend your statement from a few weeks ago that you didn't think it was a two-team race. You think it's a three-team race.
Absolutely, I think it's a three-team race.
And I don't think you're wrong. And maybe some Arsenal fans were mad that you said that earlier, but
that's okay.
But now
I've amended my mistake.
Yeah, that's all right.
And maybe they haven't. Maybe they get blown out by City 5-0, and then they go on the road to Brighton and then lose to Villa. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but just from watching them, where we were at last year to where we are at now with 10 games left to go, that I do feel like this is going to be a pretty tight race for three teams down the stretch.
Yeah, totally agreed. One more thing on the Premier League side of all this. Any thoughts on this possibly being the last matchup we see between Jurgen Klopp and
Thank
Pep Guardiola?
Jesus. thank you.
You're a little sick of the storyline?
I'm okay. Yeah, there are other games to watch that will fulfill my need. Like, there are other good games that I can watch.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
This is kind of where I am with Caitlin Clark, where it's like, I acknowledge that she's great. I like women's basketball a lot. But every game now, it's like, Gus Johnson, the greatest basketball player ever.
How do you
think, Caitlin Clark?
How do you think, like, when people feel when he goes, the world famous Buckeyes of Ohio State?
Like,
you're
right.
A fan of
you're
that.
Right.
Other people hate it.
You are exactly right. And Buckeye fans, I'm sure, know that like, everywhere we go, people are like, oh God, the Buckeyes. I got to hear about them again.
Buckeyes.
I'm sure. But I'm just saying, I get your burnout on it, where it's like, yeah, this is undeniably great.
I'm not burnt out on it. I just, the two teams, I'm done. Like,
no,
they've won enough.
That's the definition of burnout. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're both good. I just don't want to see it anymore. That's what I'm. Yes, exactly. All right. Anything else we want to get into before we get out of here?
No, not really.
I keep forgetting that Copa America is this year and it's all in America. I don't know. We should look at where all these games are going to be and start figuring that out. And I guess we should do this. I forgot to mention it. I unfortunately did not watch much of it. But women's national team.
Yep.
Gold Cup.
Yep.
And Brazil was in the Gold Cup
for
some reason this year. I don't know why, but
it's just like how we're in Copa America.
Sure, I guess.
Just there are no rules. It's like Drew Carey show. Whose line is it anyways?
Yeah.
Where the lines are made up and the points don't
matter. Yeah. That's exactly right. So in either case, congrats to them on winning the Gold Cup. I wish I would have watched more of it. I have just not had, I didn't know where it was on, and I kind of would come upon it and go, oh, they're playing right now. So bad job by me for not paying more attention to that. Hopefully next time I will.
I don't have the mental wherewithal to deal with a whole lot right now.
No, I know. I think also I'm a little on the women's side of things with the Women's World Cup last year, the flame out there. It kind of has caused me to say, like,
stalled a little bit.
Well, that, and also it's like, but this is the Gold Cup that, I mean, they all matter, but also it's like, it's the Gold Cup after the World Cup. So that's the one that you kind of look at and go, eh, is that as big of a deal? The one in a couple of years will have a lot more meaning for how that World Cup is, but still hoisting a trophy for the U.S. Very good thing to see. Glad they could do that.
So that's the difference between the men's team and the women's team. The women's team won a trophy and it's like, yeah, okay.
All right. That's good. Yeah. Good job. The men's team.
Way to go in the World Cup.
Oh, speaking of the men, all right, this has to be the last thing. I promise you we're out. Have you seen the minutes for Gio Reyna this year?
Yeah, they're bad.
Dude, so Nottingham, he got left off the 18, no injury, not in the 18 this past weekend. In his matches so far, I think he's totaled 34 minutes for them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got like, isn't Josh Sargent like bagging goals left and right?
I watched a video of Yunus Musah playing at AC Milan, just ripping apart a midfield.
Well, speaking of AC Milan, Christian Pulisic doing tremendous things for them, right, this year. So, like, I have been one of Gio Reyna's biggest defenders. It may just be time to admit that that is not happening.
Not going
to
work.
It's not ever happening. And
you owe Greg an apology.
I probably do. I probably owe a lot of people an apology. Guess who's not getting one?
Greg.
Any of them.
Yeah. Suck on that!
I will apologize if I need to, but I don't know if I do.
I apologize to Arsenal fans.
I want to do the Conor McGregor line. I want to apologize to absolutely no one.
For as much as that guy's an idiot and I don't like it, it's an all-time line.
That's an all-time line.
It's an all-time line.
Yeah. Well, that's, again,
I'd like to apologize.
I don't like
absolutely nobody.
I don't like him. I don't like, the next guy I'm going to say is even worse, Kanye West. I don't like, but his line of, what if I did, they're going to ask, what if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know. Like that, those are great lines. I don't like anything else about that. I'm just saying that's a great line. That's all we're saying. We can admit that people who suck sometimes have a great one-liner.
Correct.
I think we can do that. All right. That's it for us. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.